How's everybody doing tonight? Good, good, good. Good to be here Wednesday night. Prayer and Bible study. And got a good little crowd here tonight. So thank you so very much for coming. And thank those who are viewing by way of Facebook. Appreciate you tuning in. And even on our audio stream on our webpage, there may be some listening there who prefer that more than Facebook. But at any rate, we are just excited to be here tonight. And again, hope everybody's had a good week. And the weatherman is calling for some cooler temperatures. I don't know, maybe I misread that or misheard that this weekend. Lower humidity, I think, and lower temperatures. I always like to give a brief forecast before I get into the spiritual stuff. But one reason why I know that so well by Wednesday is because of cutting grass during the week. And me and Miss BJ have been hard at it this week. She did her yard today. I did mine yesterday. I tell you, I got a little nauseous out there, that heat, and drinking too much water at one time. But I got it done. Ain't that right, BJ? We got it done. So, but anyway, we're going to jump right into things tonight, and we're not going to have any music tonight. And Bro Jeff went to open up his guitar case, and it wasn't there. So, but no, we told Bro Jeff, don't worry about it. He's been so faithful every Wednesday night. And you're trying to play all over the place like that, you're bound to leave it behind somewhere. But anyway, we're just going to, we'll have our prayer request time. We'll have a time of prayer, and we'll jump right into the lesson tonight. That might give us a few more minutes anyway, so we appreciate that. Do remember this coming up Saturday, if you need your car cleaned, there's Carter's Cooperstown Car Wash here at the church. And so remember that. That's going to be, from Miss Amanda said, at least from 11 to 1 maybe a little bit longer or a little bit shorter. But just remember that. There may be some hot dogs, hamburgers, not really sure. We're not saying, we're not giving that out there for sure. Nonetheless, that will be there. Of course, we'll be inviting people to church as well. And so it'll be a community event. That'll be good, along with helping out Carter get to Cooperstown. And so just, you know, throw in a little donation if you can, if you need your car washed, or if you want to donate without getting your car washed, I'm sure they'd appreciate that too. So just remember that. And, of course, on Saturday the 15th will be our official outreach. And we'll hand out flyers, inviting people to church. Also, to our upcoming event on the 22nd, Saturday at 4, Ivan Parker from the Gaithers will be singing. And that will be a Saturday event, of course. And we will have a love offering at that time for him. So remember that. Then, of course, on the 30th will be Youth Sunday. So remember that. Looking forward to that. Brother Alan Clayton goes tomorrow for a back procedure. Not really sure what it is in detail, but it is an in-and-out thing. So remember him. I believe Miss Claudia went yesterday for a CT scan on her back. Or a CT scan. Not I say back. I don't think it's her back, but she went for a CT scan. And so let's remember the results on that. And then Miss Connie Teague's nephew, Dustin, that fell from a roof. Has anybody heard from the Teagues on that? Any updates? Not really sure how that's panned out yet, but we'll reach out to them to see what's going on with that. And also, we have on the prayer list from the Hendersons, Brother David and Miss Glenda. Pray for Miss Glenda. She's home tonight, not feeling well. Let's remember her in prayer. But a lady named Peggy. I believe it was her name Peggy or her daughter's name Peggy? Sir? The one that... She said she felt like she was going to die and she passed away. And so remember the family during that. Brother, tell me one more time that the pastor's name that passed and then the... She passed away yesterday morning and he passed away about a year ago. And so just remember the family during that time. Not really got one daughter, not really sure what went on. She went downhill fast. And just remember that family. We appreciate that. Remember our children's home. Remember the services downstairs for our young people as they lead that and they teach down there. Remember them. And it was good having the Townsends back with us last Sunday morning and Miss Shirley Sunday night. But let's do continue to remember them both in our prayers. And Don and Carla Rich, let's remember them. Trell Norton, Bill Zimmerman, this is a request he has. He has cancer, and so let's remember Bill Zimmerman, a friend of Trell Norton. Also his wife, Brother Trell's wife. Diane Ely, back surgery. Well, it's June, isn't it? Back surgery potentially. I thought she said June 2nd. That was Sunday. I don't think there's any surgeries on Sunday. There may be. I guess in the medical field there is, but I haven't heard anything. Has anybody heard from the Ely's on that? That one got away from me. I'll contact her and see if she's had it yet. I hope she hasn't. Pray for Brother Harold Dolph, Leonard, and Dolores Palmer. Let's remember them and their health. The Daly's, the Ashworths, Jimmy and Jenny Clanton, the McCrickards, Joyce Manning, James Tolan Brown, Kevin Brook, all of them in our prayer request list. Let's remember in prayer. All right, we'll open the floor. Maybe someone has a prayer request or a praise or something they want to mention. Okay. Excellent. Excellent. That's wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. The baby came home. And praise the Lord for that. Anybody else tonight? All right. Well, again, let's just remember all these things, and let's remember this coming up Sunday morning and Sunday night. Of course, we'll be downstairs for Sunday night and at 5 o'clock. And continue to remember, help us pray for whoever God has as far as the keyboardist is concerned. We're still making that a matter of prayer and looking and seeing what's going on with that. So remember that. All right, well, if that's all we have, we'll spend a moment in prayer as we do each and every Wednesday night at the altar. If you'd like to come and meet us, we'll have a time of silent prayer together, and then we'll bring the lesson. Well, it's good to have our newest members, Frank and Vicki Johnson. Oh, that's okay. That's okay. Y'all are members now. Y'all are members now. You can be as late as you want. Anyway, we appreciate you guys. We love you guys. And we're just so thrilled that you tied the knot. And so it's official. It's official. All right. The book of Luke tonight is going to be our starting place. Luke chapter number 2, verse 30. A small verse we're going to read here. And a one-liner. Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 30. The Bible says this in Luke chapter number 2, verse number 30. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Tonight, I want to talk about another doctrine, and that is the doctrine of salvation. The doctrine of salvation. There's a lot that I want to say tonight you already know. So try not to yawn too loud in front of me or too big in front of me. But I think that from time to time we need to revisit these things and really dive in and look at them, because salvation not only means eternity with Jesus in heaven, but salvation in the Bible also has other references and means other things. Now, this will be exhaustive, and we're going to try to limit how exhaustive it'll be. There's a lot of verses, and I really don't want to cut out a whole lot, but we are going to cut out some. But someone may need to hear this tonight that's here, that's watching, that's listening. And so we want to be a help, and we're wanting to enlighten as well the doctrine of salvation. And so when we come to study, to the study of salvation, we learn that there are things that God saves both sinners and saints from. Salvation is not something which involves the lost sinner only, but also there are things that saints, us, those that are saved, must be saved from. Of course, we know that salvation is once and for all, and we are eternally saved. But throughout our life, God continues to save us from certain things and in other areas. And that's what I want to talk about tonight in part. But number one, the meaning of the word salvation. What does salvation mean? And of course, here in Luke 2, verse number 30, the Bible says, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." The word salvation means deliverance. It also means to save. It means to persevere. But it also means to protect. It means to make whole. So there's various meanings of the word salvation. The Vine's expository dictionary of the New Testament words says this about salvation. It denotes deliverance, perseverance, and means salvation. And so the following examples I'm going to give you is how the word salvation is used in the Bible. Number one, salvation can refer to being delivered. Turn, if you would, for a moment to Philippians chapter number 1. Philippians chapter number 1. And verse number 19. We see here that Paul is in prison and he's speaking of salvation from prison. He's talking about deliverance from something. Philippians 1 verse 19. Listen to this. "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation," or deliverance, "through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." I know that this situation, this predicament, it shall turn to my salvation. I will be delivered. And so when it comes to that word salvation, it can mean different things in the Bible. And here Paul's talking about being delivered from a particular situation. And he says, "I will be delivered through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." And so there's times in life where we need deliverance, isn't there? There's predicaments we find ourselves in that we want deliverance from. It may be a time in life that's uncomfortable. Maybe a time in life where we're being tested and tried. We may feel like Paul here, who's in prison and can't get out of a situation. And we need salvation, not eternity with Jesus. We already have that, but deliverance. And he says, "My deliverance will come through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." The Spirit's enablement, your prayers, that's what's going to get us through. That's what's going to get us delivered through and from our experiences in life, is praying for one another and the supply of the Spirit of God. The Spirit's enablement, His empowerment. I love the verse that says, "Though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day." We have all these outward afflictions. We have physical problems. We have struggles. And all those things occur because of the Spirit of God on the inside. We can be renewed each and every day And He can supply the power we need to get through our situation. So He says, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." And so the word salvation here means deliverance. But also, in another place, we see Israel being saved from their enemies. Over in Luke, go ahead and make your way to Luke. We're going to mention a lot of verses now in the beginning, and we'll kind of slow down a little bit. But Luke chapter number 1, verse 68 through 71. Luke 1, 68. Luke chapter 1, verse number 68 through 71. Israel being saved from their enemies. Talking about a different kind of salvation here. All right, Luke chapter 1, verse 68. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He hath visited and redeemed His people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David, as He spake by the mouth of His holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us." Wow, what words. Be saved from all of our enemies and all those that hate us. We preach Sunday morning on taking a stand against temptation. There is a real enemy against us tonight. And we mentioned the evil day. We talked about how the devil came to Job's house. I hope the devil hasn't came to your house this week. We don't pray for that. I don't want him to come to my house. But truth be told, he or one of his misfits will come and visit your place and mine. He'll come a knocking. And so we see here that during those times we can have deliverance from all of our enemies, and not just the unseen enemy, but physical enemies. I hope none of us have any physical enemies here on earth. But if we do, God has a way of delivering us from all of those that hate us or those who are against us. I've seen God time and time again. People in my ministry, history, and life in general since I've been saved, that I've tried to do the right thing and take a stand for Jesus and raise my family and, you know, assume all my God-given responsibilities. And there have been those from time to time who would rise up against me. And I have seen God deal with those situations time and time and time again. And so we just got to continue to press through, press on, move forward, and lean upon the Lord for His deliverance, for His salvation from a situation and through a situation. So we see that here, Israel being saved from their enemies. But then what about Noah? Noah and his family being saved from the flood. Hebrews 11, 7. Very familiar verse. Listen to this. Hebrews 11, 7. Let me get there. Speaking of Noah and his salvation of the flood. Hebrews 11, 7. "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." And so his household was saved. We're not talking about eternal redemption here, although it does picture that. Is your family in the ark? Because there is coming a day when the wrath of God will be poured out against all ungodliness. There's definitely that picture there. But he was saved from God's judgment. His family was saved from God's judgment back in Noah's day. He preached righteousness. Hey, the Lord is going to judge this world. It's going to happen. God's judgment is coming. And no one believed. And so God says, "Noah, come into the ark." He and his family came, and that door was closed, and they were saved from that judgment. And so salvation can mean deliverance. It can mean to save, to persevere, to protect, to make whole. We see that in Hebrews 11:7. And of course, the salvation of the soul from sin and eternal hell through trusting the redeeming grace of Jesus Christ. I love what Acts chapter number 4, I'll just give it to you briefly. Acts chapter number 4, verse number 12 says this about salvation and the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. Acts 4 and verse number 12 says this. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that is the name of Jesus. And so here he's talking about eternal security with the Lord. Again, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so we see that salvation can mean different things in the Bible. And deliverance, to save, to persevere, to protect, to make whole. Now back in Luke chapter number 2, verse number 30, which was our text verse tonight. And I removed my bookmark, so give me a minute. Luke 2:30. He says, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." The Greek word salvation here is soterion. Sounds like soterion, like a guard, a Roman guard or something. But the Greek word soterion or soterion, let me correct myself, soterion is translated salvation. And so in this passage, the word means defender or defense. It means salvation. And so all of that wrapped up in one, we see that this refers to the one Savior who not only saves, but defends the ones that He saves. Aren't you glad tonight we have salvation in Jesus? But also, aren't you glad tonight He defends us? He is our buckler. He's the one who saves us. He's the one who defends us and who walks with us and talks with us. And what a blessing that is. And so, all this speaks of the security of salvation and God being our great defender and preserver. So point number one tonight is the meaning of the word salvation. Point number two, I want to look at the means of salvation. Again, some of this is very elementary, but we're going to tippy-toe into some deeper waters in just a second. The meaning of the word salvation, but the means of salvation. Salvation is only through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to mention some verses that make that clear. And I'm not going to turn all these verses because there's a pretty good bit of verses. So I'm just going to read the phrase from the verse and give you the verse. It says, "The salvation of the Lord" in Exodus 14:13. So salvation is of the Lord, and it states that there. Also in Jonah 2:9, salvation is of the Lord. Similar ways of phrasing that in those two verses. Isaiah 45:22, "Look unto me and be ye saved, saith the Lord." Matthew 1:21, "He shall save his people from their sins." Acts 16:30, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Romans 10:9, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." 1 Timothy 1:15, "Christ Jesus came to save sinners." Titus 3:11, "The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." And, of course, some of those were just the gist of the verses. But this all points to salvation belonging to Jesus Christ only. So He's the means of salvation, spending eternity with Him. And then, not only that, but we know that salvation is by faith. It is faith in the finished work of the cross that brings salvation. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." We got it in here on our wall. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Do you love our cross on the wall in here with John 3:16? What a blessing that is. I love that so much. For God so loved the world. Every time I mention that verse, I always like to emphasize the word so. Because how much love is wrapped up in that word so? The depth, the heights, the widths of the love of God, we can't fully figure out because His love is unconditional. For God so loved the world. The means of salvation. Now, we see that salvation is only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is by faith, but salvation can only come through the gospel. The gospel. We can't earn salvation. We're not inherited salvation by a person. Mom and dad saved, grandma and grandpa saved. Just because they were saved, that don't mean you're saved. But you got to get saved yourself, and it is only comes through the gospel. Romans chapter number 1, I'll mention this briefly. Romans 1 verse 16 says this about the gospel and salvation. Romans 1 verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. That word power just means dunamis in the Greek. It means dynamite. Okay? The gospel, the power of God. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. This is the dynamite of God's word. It has a powerful effect on each and everybody's life. And so tonight, the gospel is power, the power of God unto salvation. And we see that in Romans 1:16. But also when it comes to salvation only coming through the gospel, we know that the gospel is the, and I love this, incorruptible seed that produces the new birth. I've mentioned that verse several times here lately, but I'll mention it again. I'll turn there, 1 Peter 1:23. Listen to this. 1 Peter 1:23. I'll get there in a second. If I had eyes behind my head, I'd be reading on the screen. 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Listen to this. We'll finish out the chapter, verse 24. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. I love that. Talking about the Word of God being incorruptible. We know that there are corruptible seeds, and Peter mentions it here in verse 24. He says, for all flesh is as grass. That's corruptible seed, grass. Grass comes and grass dies. Now, the change of seasons. And then, of course, Paul speaks about seed in the resurrection chapter. And I mentioned that before there can be a harvest, there has to be a death. A seed has to die. And he's talking about the future resurrection. And so one day we'll die, but then we'll be raised again. And we'll be raised again because we have the incorruptible seed within our hearts. I don't know, that just fascinates me, Brother Ceylon. It fascinates me because of the illustration the Bible gives compared to corruptible seed, incorruptible seed. And so Peter says, those that are saved are born again, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of the Lord, which liveth and abideth forever. Tonight, we are never going to die. Now, we may die once, but we won't die twice. We may not even die once, and I'm praying we don't die once. I've been to enough funerals, and you have too. I do not want to go to any more. I pray that the Lord will come back, and we'll continue to be busy about His work, teaching, His preaching, and sharing the gospel till He comes. But I pray that we don't even die once, but for sure we will not die twice. We will forever be with the Lord because of the incorruptible Word of God, being born again, the Bible says, Peter says, not of corruptible seed. And so that's the blessing tonight. And so salvation can only come through the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It is the incorruptible seed that produces a new birth. But also the gospel must also be preached for sinners to be saved. And we know that. Romans 10:14, we won't mention that verse, but it must be preached while we're here. And so tonight we mentioned the meaning of the word salvation, the means of salvation, but then I want to spend a little time and talk about the many uses of the words salvation and saved. We began to look at that in the early part of this lesson tonight, but I want to spend a little time looking at some different areas of that word. When we study the doctrine of salvation, we must understand there are different things that God saves us from. Therefore, we must rightly divide the word of truth and interpret the words salvation, save, and saved in context of Scripture. In doing this, we will determine what it is that God saves us from. You ever wondered, you hear somebody say, I'm saved. Or you may say, I'm saved. Have you ever wondered what it is you're saved from or saved to? That's a legitimate question, I think. And I think it'll do us some good to go back and look at some things we're saved from and saved to. And so I want to read you some verses, give you some points, and these are various ways that salvation is used in the Bible and what God saves us from. Number one, or letter A, under point number three. I love outlining things, and sometimes I get carried away, so y'all forgive me if I... A, one, two, three, subpoints. The sinner, or the lost person, is saved from the penalty of sin. Y'all know that. Man is born a sinner, and under the wrath of God... The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This speaks of the second death, that second death that we will never see. For the wages of sin is death. The penalty of sin is death. And so a lost person, when they die, they'll die once, but then they'll die twice. This is in reference to the second death, meaning eternal separation from God. They will be in a place called hell, or hell. And it's our prayer that nobody else goes to hell. And so there again, we must continually reach others with the gospel. But this speaks of the second death, which is a life eternally in hell. That's terrible, isn't it? And that's a message in a lesson that isn't preached or taught much. And I'm guilty of that, not preaching on hell. And you don't have to get up and tell everybody to turn or burn to mention hell. It's in the Bible. And hell needs to be preached and taught about and spoke about. Heaven is in the Bible, and so is hell. It just needs to be spoke about more often. But there is a real hell to shun and a real heaven to gain. And so we see that they're wrapped up in Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the soul of man is eternal and will spend eternity in heaven or hell. Heaven is the eternal home of the redeemed, and hell is the eternal home of the lost. The unbelieving sinner is condemned already, right now. They have the condemnation, the wrath of God abiding on them. We leave here tonight, we don't know who's saved or lost. We just go based on fruits who's saved or lost. But just suppose we leave here tonight and there's a man walking down the sidewalk and he's lost and the wrath of God is abiding on him. I mean, it's a terrible thing to know that one day God's wrath will be poured out and there'll be the 7-year tribulation time period. Or and if Jesus comes back, when he comes back, we're going to leave. The 7-year tribulation will take place. And if that man is still here, he will go through that. And if he dies, he'll be eternally separated. And that's a sad thing, but it's true tonight. It's so true that the unbeliever, the unbelieving sinner, is condemned already right now to die and go to hell. I want to turn over to John 3:18 because many times those verses are left out, not read much. I'm guilty of that. I always quote John 3:16, but John chapter number 3, listen to this. In verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And so when we look at that, a lot of people say, well, I believe in God, you know, I'm not condemned. I'm going to heaven. Well, there's a difference between believing here and believing here. We don't have time to get into that tonight per se, but there is a difference. I have the chair illustration I pull out sometimes, and that was sitting right there. But if I had a chair right here, I could tell you how much I believe this chair would hold me up. Let's just use the pew. This pew, it would hold me up. I promise you it'll hold me up. I believe it'll hold me up. That's a head knowledge. But there's no heart knowledge in that. And so head knowledge ceases and it becomes heart knowledge when I sit down on this pew and it's holding me up. And so it has went from my head to my heart. So everybody you talk to saved, don't you know? Everybody's saved. Oh, I believe. I'm not condemned. I'm going to heaven when I die. Well, the devils believe. The devil believes. The demons believe. The devils, James says, devils believe and tremble. And so it has to go from the head to the heart. It's a personal thing. But nonetheless, the Bible says that the wrath of God, or the Bible says that the unbeliever is condemned already. And the blessing to that to us that are saved, it says in verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. And so we are no longer under condemnation. And what a blessing that is. To be on the right side of God. The wrath of God constantly abides on the sinner. At the very moment a sinner repents of his sin and puts his faith in Jesus as his Savior, he is saved and or delivered from the penalty of sin, which is hell. So they will no longer go to hell. Let me see here. There is now, right now, no condemnation to all that are saved. All of you that are saved tonight, remember Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now, right now, this Wednesday night, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And don't get that confused, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That don't mean we won't fall to fleshly things. It just means we have a new nature. We have a new desire in our heart. And we have a desire and a nature for spiritual things. And so those who have that desire for spiritual things is not no longer under condemnation. We are not under the wrath of God. We are not. We are innocent. We are justified. We are not guilty. And I want to tell you, that's exciting news. Whether we feel like shouting or not, it's a wonderful thing that gets us up every day, isn't it? To have no condemnation anymore. All right, and so we looked a little bit at that. Now, not only the sinner is saved from the penalty of sin, but God saves the believer from the power of sin, and one day the presence of sin. All right? The Lord daily saves us from the power of sin through the Word of God and the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. And so the power of sin over our life has been broken. Will we still sin? Do we still sin? Yes, we do. But we're doing it in spite of our ability to overcome it. And so the Lord daily saves us from the power of sin through the Word of God in the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. The Word of God teaches us and cleanses us. Psalm 119, let me go there for you. Psalm 119, verse number 9 through 11. Listen to this. Psalm 119 is a long chapter. Let me make my way back here. Psalm 119. Verse number 9 through 11. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. So we see here that the word of God teaches us and it cleanses us. The word of God also transforms us into the Christian that God desires for us to be. And of course, David says this here, and I'll read it again. Wherewithal shall a young man or a person cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto to thy word. And so the word of God cleanses us. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. So it cleanses us from sin and protects us from sin. But also, as I said, it transforms us. I'm flipping back to the New Testament. I want to read you some familiar verses. Romans chapter number 12. Speaking of transformation. Romans 12 verse 1 and 2. And again, we're under point number 3. The many uses of the words salvation or saved. We're looking at different things that God saves us from, saves us to. We know that the sinner is saved from the penalty of sin. And now we're looking at that we are saved from the power of sin and the presence of sin one day. And so the Word of God, it teaches us and cleanses us and protects us, but it transforms us. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2 I want to look at. And be not conformed or fashioned alike to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So there is a transformation that takes place in our life, not only at the moment of salvation, we belong to Jesus, but daily we are transformed. And it's all based upon our surrender to the Lord. He takes us and He transforms us. Now the word transformed here. Be ye transformed. That word transformed means to change or to transfigure. And it's the same word used in Matthew 17:2, where Jesus was transfigured before His disciples. Jesus was changed in the presence of His disciples, and they saw Him and His glory. In His glory, that's Matthew 17, 1 through 8. But that word transformed is the same English word for metamorphosis. From the word transfigured, we get our English word metamorphosis. And I've used this before, and I love this because a metamorphosis is a great example of what changes or how we change in our Christian lives. It goes back to the caterpillar changing into a beautiful butterfly. And so when God uses the word transformed in relation to the Christian, He is speaking of saving us from the power and influence of sin and making us more like Jesus. You've heard the story, I've said it before, about the caterpillar wanting to be the bluebird. Or the bird in general. The caterpillar looks up and sees the bird flying around from tree to tree. And the caterpillar says, I wish I could be a bird like that. I wish I could fly. And so he's inching his way to the tree, and he makes it up to a little crack in the tree where the tree, the arms go different ways, the branches. And he sits there and he looks at the bird coming and going. Oh, I wish I could do what that bird does. And so after so many days, it kind of wraps himself in its discouragement. And now it's in a cocoon. And it's in that dark place. And it don't want to be there, but it's just so discouraged. And yet there's something on the inside of the caterpillar that says there's more to life. You could fly one day. You can do it. So it starts to push and it starts to get itself out of its current situation. It's dark, it's dreary. And all of a sudden, one day, an arm goes out and it's a wing. Another arm goes out and it's this other wing. And now that caterpillar that was struggling, and because of what's on the inside of that caterpillar, for wanting more out of its life, begins to fly away just like the bird. And so that's what's taking place in your life and mine. It is a metamorphosis. It's a transformation. Now, I'm not everything I should be tonight, but I'm not what I used to be when I first got saved. God is slowly taking me and transforming me day by day. And a lot of it hinges upon my surrender to Him. Whatever we give to the Lord, He takes it, He cleanses it, and He uses it as a vessel of honor. And so what a blessing it is. Even when I make bad decisions, along with my good decisions, God works them all together for good. And then one day we'll look back down the road and say, you know what? God has taken me a long way. What a blessing it is tonight to be on my way to being a butterfly. We're all caterpillars being changed into butterflies. And one day when we go either by the grave or the trumpet sounds, we will fly away. I'll fly away. And off the top of my head, if I knew that song, off the top of my head, I'd sing it right now. But it's not coming to me. I'm stuck in my message. I'll fly away. And so it's a metamorphosis that takes place. And so we're saved from the penalty of sin. We're saved from the power of sin. And one day, of course, the presence of sin. In heaven, there will be no more sin there. Let me hurry. Not only that, but I wanted to mention this briefly. We are saved through the rapture from the coming wrath of God. We mentioned that just a second ago, kind of tippy-toed into it. But more specifically, I want to say this. The Bible speaks of the salvation of the church from the coming tribulation. There will be a 7-year tribulational time period where the wrath of God, vial by vial, will be poured out upon this old world. But the church will be gone. All right, the church will be raptured before the tribulation. Some believers think that believers will go through the tribulation and be purged from all of our iniquities by fire, be purged from our flesh. No. I want to read you some verses. We are safe and saved from the wrath to come. And so we will not go through any part of the 7-year tribulation period. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. You can listen along, follow along, however you want. But 1 Thessalonians 1:10. Listen to this. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. Let me get there. It was in my Bible this afternoon, I promise you. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. Listen to this. And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even so, which delivered us from the wrath to come. We are already delivered from that wrath that's coming. We're not going through the tribulation. We are waiting for Jesus to come from heaven, and whom God raised from the dead, that same Jesus will come back and deliver us from the wrath to come. And so we're safe tonight. And we're saved from the wrath to come. So that word saved here means delivered. And deliver means saved. And so the Lord has delivered or saved us from the wrath to come. And of course, when you study the epistles of 1 and 2 Thessalonians, you'll find that the church was confused and misled about the doctrine of the second coming. There were some false teachers that came into the church. They had been taught by false teachers that, listen to this, they were already in the day of Christ, or the Lord had already returned, which refers here to the coming day of the Lord's wrath upon the earth. Let me just read you a couple verses out of that. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse number 1. Listen to this. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse number 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him. What does that sound like? He's saying, I'm about to talk to you about the second coming of the Lord. By our gathering unto Him and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that day, or that the day of Christ is at hand. He says it hasn't happened yet. We haven't been left behind. We're not going through the tribulation. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. So we know, and again, we're not getting too much into this tonight. And of course, we do need to on another night. But there's going to be a falling away first, all right, before the Lord comes back. Then it says, and that man of sin, the Antichrist, be revealed, the son of perdition. I can mess that up, can't I? And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. You know who also was called the son of perdition in the Bible? Anybody want to guess? And this is just my speculation of the Antichrist. Judas, son of perdition. Some think that he might be, the son of perdition, the son of the Antichrist. I don't know. Or the Antichrist. I don't know. But it just says that that day shall not come first until there is a falling away. And then and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And he goes on and he says all these things. Verse number 5, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. And so there is something withholding that man of sin from being revealed, the Antichrist. What do you think is withholding the man of sin, the Antichrist, from being revealed? I tell you what's withholding. The Holy Spirit is withholding the man of sin. The Holy Spirit in us, the church of God, we are the restraining force here on earth as to why the Antichrist has not been revealed. When we are taken out of the way, that restraining force will be removed, and then the man of sin will be revealed, and then the seven-year tribulation. Verse 6, and now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time, for the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. He's already working. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. And so we could keep on reading into that, but we'll just stop right there. We said all of that to say this, that we are saved through the rapture from the coming wrath of God. What a blessing tonight. We are saved from God's wrath. And so we looked at all of that. Of course, Paul explains that before the Antichrist can be revealed and the tribulation begins, the church which possesses the Holy Ghost must be first removed. The Holy Spirit is the restraining force spoken of in this passage that prevents evil from totally taking over the world. The words withholdeth, letteth, let speaks of a restraining force which refers to the Holy Ghost, who indwells the church at this present age. Paul makes it clear that the tribulation cannot begin, nor the Antichrist revealed, until the church has been removed. So, that's that. Now, when it comes to being saved through the rapture from the coming wrath of God, we see that the second coming, the rapture of the church, is called the blessed hope. in Titus 2:13. Let me give it to you briefly. Titus 2:13. These studies that we do, it's a lot to keep separated. And so thank you for being patient with me tonight. Titus 2, verse 13. That's Timothy. There's Titus. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so it's a blessed hope tonight, and it's going to be a glorious appearing one day. The second coming for the church is called the blessed hope. And so Paul assures the believers they can have hope and peace of mind concerning the coming of Christ. The saints could have peace of mind that God will save the church from the coming tribulation. God has called us to salvation and not to wrath. Let me read you a few verses here briefly. Don't turn to any of them. There's too many. Revelation 3:10, the Lord promises to keep the church from the coming temptation, which means tribulation. That is to try all that dwell on earth. 2 Peter 2:7 through 9, the Lord delivers the saved from judgment. Remember Lot? Lot is a great example of God delivering the saved before judgment is poured out upon the lost world. As recorded in 2 Peter 2:7 and 9, he rained down fire and brimstone upon Sodom and Gomorrah. You remember that? And delivered Lot. His wife was looking back. She got turned into a pillar of salt. Of course, we won't get into the ending of Lot's life, but it's terrible. A lot of terrible things happened. There was incest there. Just terrible, terrible things. But nonetheless, that is in reference to what we're talking about. The Lord delivers the saved from judgment like in Lot's day. 1 Peter 1:5, the believer is kept by God's power unto salvation. If God keeps us to salvation, this means He also keeps us from wrath. And then 1 Peter 1:9, the Christian is to look to the salvation that is ahead. The end of our faith is salvation, deliverance. Romans 13:11, just giving it to you at this point, Paul says our salvation is nearer than when we believed. And if Paul said that in his day, can you expect it in our day? And so for me, when I first got saved, the coming of the Lord was near then. It's much more near now. And think about you when you first got saved. It was near then. It was near in Paul's day. So it's much more near now. Paul says our salvation is nearer than when we believed. This salvation refers to the coming of the Lord, when at the rapture, the believer will receive their glorified body. In reference to this, Paul also refers to dark and evil times, and we know that the coming of the Lord will be preceded by falling away and perilous times. That's recorded in 2 Timothy 3:1. Things will get worse and worse. You know, the government and the White House and politics wants us to think things will get better and better. We're not being pessimistic tonight. We're just being a realist tonight. And that is, things are going to get worse and worse before they get better for the Christian. And that's just how it is. And that's Bible truth tonight. Things will get worse and worse. We may reach spaces of grace in this time period we're living in where things are okay and things get better. I hope and pray that there'll be a revival breakout in our world and people will get saved and upon droves upon droves, but there will be a falling away. Things will get worse and worse. There are dangerous times we are living in. Before church tonight, I watched something on the news headline, local Fox 5 news, and a man walked inside of a wing shop. I think it's in DeKalb County. I don't know if you've seen that or not, but he walked right up to a man, and that man pulled a gun out and started shooting at him. And then he ran out of the store, and he came back, and the man was lying near dead at the entrance of the store, and he reached in and shot him in the head and ran off and came back again. And when he came back again, then someone shot him dead. I think he died. I mean, just dangerous times, perilous times. Be safe out there, church. Be safe. But there again, Romans 5:9, the believer is saved from the future wrath of God through the blood of Jesus. Again, I told you that it was going to be exhaustive tonight. I tried not to exhaust it no more than I did. But sometimes we just got to dive in, and there's really no easy way of approaching this other than diving in. We may stretch this out next Wednesday. There's other things I wanted to talk about. We kind of mentioned this Sunday morning. We're saved from the snares of temptation. The devil has a bait. He's coming after us. But we have the ability to escape that. And so we'll just see what God may have for us on next Wednesday. But do pray for this coming up Sunday morning and Sunday night that we will hear from the Lord and have something to share for you that might be a blessing. All right, let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you for all things. And God, tonight, I pray that we would just feast upon your word, Lord, that we would leave here knowing that we're saved, we're going to heaven, those of us that have trusted Jesus. But also, Lord, you are protecting us and you are delivering us even now through trials and tribulations. And Lord, I'm glad that the Bible does tell us that and give us those promises, and that they do differentiate these meanings. So just help us glean something. I pray that we've gleaned something from tonight. Keep us safe as we leave and go our separate places of abode. Bring us back safely on Sunday. Bless the car wash on Saturday is our prayer as well. And everyone on the prayer list, we love you tonight and we thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. Anything?